Good afternoon. We'll start with singing the hymn In the Garden. It's in your hymnals on 635, or the words will be on the screen, whichever you prefer. But let's stand, please, as we sing In the Garden. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have made, this day that we gather together here in your presence to celebrate the life that you have given to Frieda Nuss all of these years on this earth. We thank you for her, how she touched our lives in such incredible ways. We thank you for your life, Jesus, as you lived and shined through her in so many ways. And for that, we give you praise, Father, Almighty God. We have much to be thankful for. Most of all, that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who allows us to gather with hope and joy in our hearts on these occasions, knowing that life on this earth is not the end. There is so much more that Frieda is experiencing now with you, and so we thank you for it. And we ask for your presence to fill this place as you move among us by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Good afternoon to all of you. Thank you for coming out. I know it means a lot to the family. Thank you for those that were in the social hall visiting and sharing memories and lunch together. It was fun to observe that. So we do thank God for Frieda's life. 88, really about 88 and three quarters of a year old. Truly a life of faith. As we all know, Frieda was a very strong and determined woman. A strong woman of faith in her Lord and Savior, overcoming many challenges in her life, which we know God's Word says that the trying of our faith produces perseverance and endurance. Starting with Frida, I'd say all the way to when she was 10 years old. And many of you know that story, when she got run over by a horse. It was a very bad accident. At the age of 10, suffering several breaks to her right leg, her hip, her lower back. I read a note here, it's not in the obituary, but I had read it earlier from the family. It says, she told me the story many times, had it not been for the extraordinary and personalized care of the chiropractor, Dr. Emil Thiessen, she would have had to have her legs amputated. She lived while she laid in his house for quite a long time, but she did recover, thanks be to God. So I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says this, "Therefore, my dear brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I'd like to read the obituary at this time. Frida was born on August 12th of 1932 on the family farm in the Clayton/Freeman area to Lydia Huber and Theodore Roth. She was baptized and confirmed at the Unity Wolf Creek Lutheran Church. She attended Freeman High School, where she loved to roller skate, and graduated in 1950. And she could dance on those roller skates, she told me many times. That was pretty amazing. Frida married Elton Nuss on July 20th of 1952. Four children were born into this union: Landon, Carolyn, Lane, and June. Elton and Frida farmed their entire lives southeast of Menno. She always had a large garden and raised chickens, ducks, and geese by incubating the eggs herself. Frida was a dedicated mother and housewife who frequently experimented with food. Due to frequent requests for her recipes, Frida self-published a blender cookbook entitled Wheat and Sugar Free in 1966, followed by a sequel, Blender Buzz, in 1968. Frida never imagined how popular these books would become. She had orders from all 50 states and internationally. Locally, she was asked to demonstrate blenders at Montgomery Ward's and Dayton's grand opening in Sioux Falls. She appeared on news shows, along with being featured in newspaper articles. In 1970, she sold her publishing rights to Keats Publishing, who combined the two books into one called The Natural Foods Blender Cookbook. Articles were also published in Prevention and Organic Gardening magazines, where Frida provided recipes and menu plans. The publisher, Rodale, didn't believe in eating wheat. Hence, all the recipes featured wheatless dishes. Many allergy sufferers wrote Frida grateful letters for the tasteful recipes they could finally eat. In 1981, Frida and Elton semi-retired, moving to Menno. The new hired hands, Daniel and Suzanne Crick, eventually took over the farm. In 1986, Frida and Elton built an iconic A-frame steel house, the first of its kind in this area. Frida loved researching the family's genealogy and wrote the Roth book along with Nuss research. In 1986, while Frida was a board member of the Sodak Germans from Russia, she started the first Oktoberfest in Menno. In 1993, they purchased and operated the Menno Hardware Hank store until 2004. After Elton's passing in 2006, Frida married Herbert Tollefson on December 29th, 2008. Herbert and Frida enjoyed one another's company until his passing at the age of 96 in 2015. Frida had a strong faith, which helped her cope with the many tragedies in life, including losing two children Carolyn and Lane. Frieda was also preceded in death by her husbands, Elton Nuss and Herbert Tollefson, by her parents, Theodore and Lydia Roth, by her sister, Lorraine Chamber, and brother, Raymond Roth. Cherishing her memory are her son, Landon Nuss, granddaughter, Lana Dawn Nuss, twin grandsons, Jeff Post, Greg Post, and his wife, Amy, by her daughter, June Nuss, and her husband, David Fleecheck, by her grandson, Grant, and his wife, Rachel Fleecheck, by her son-in-law, Keith Smith, and her grandchildren, Karina Smith, Carlonda, and her husband, Jared Ediger, Keith A. Smith, and his wife, Brianna, and son, Aiden, Keeland Smith, and Carolyn Michelle Smith. Special mention goes to Frieda's extended family, Dan and Sue Crick, and their children and their families. May God bless her memory always in our hearts and in our minds. This time, I'm going to ask June and Dave and Grant to come, if you would, and they have some thoughts they would like to share. Just hold it close. Okay.
Well, I figured this is the last thing I could do for Mom is say some words about her.
Close to your mouth.
You know, I always found it interesting at funerals that you have to summarize somebody's life in 250 words or less. And then usually people say really nice things about you after your dad. Well, that's crazy. Why don't we say that while they're still alive? So we actually had the opportunity to do that. 11 weeks ago, we placed Mom in home hospice, and I put out the word to the community, please come visit her. Please send notes and letters and share with her memories that you have. And this community is so wonderful you did that. And she absolutely enjoyed it. I mean, that was her thing, to sit and visit and reminisce and tell stories. So what I really want to do today is thank this community and this congregation, because you're wonderful. Last Sunday was the last day she actually spoke. And Gary and Jan Yerke came to visit her, and we were talking, and though she wasn't, her eyes were closed, we knew she was listening. So he said, why don't you talk to her in German? So Gary went up to her and started talking to her in German, and she just lit up, and her eyes opened, and she starts responding in German, which we're like, this is unbelievable. And the last word I heard her say was, Dankeschön. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Yeah. And so, once again, I want to thank the community for that. But I want to thank my mom. She was a great mom. And, you know, in obituary, you really can't say what kind of mom she was. But I want to thank her for teaching me how to be kind to everybody, how to be kind to nature and treat animals with kindness. Some stories that I have, and we didn't rehearse any of this, we're just rambling, so bear with us. You know, she wrote these cookbooks in the 60s when natural foods and using blenders, it wasn't cool at the time. Actually, what was cool was fast foods and, you know, people making easy meals. And so, you know, I give her a lot of credit for doing that, because a lot of people kind of frowned on that. But to me, when she was writing these recipes, it was I come home to a stack of dishes every night. Carolyn and I just did dishes, dishes, dishes. But then she asked me to come along to the grand opening of Dayton's. And we were sitting up, and this woman comes in, and she comes running towards us, and she said, oh, my God, Frieda, I'm so happy to meet you. You have saved my son's life. And I kind of look at her, and she goes, my son was so allergic to everything, and I finally have food, recipes that he can eat. And that's when it hit me going, you know, these cookbooks and these recipes are much bigger than just me doing dishes all the time. The other thing, like, you know, these stories that you remember through the years is actually the church, the young kids, we'd the bake sales. You know, we'd bring in food for bake sales. And I go, well, Mom, what are you going to make for the bake sale? And she goes, well, I'm going to bake bread, whole wheat bread. I'm going, bread? Nobody wants bread. People want cakes and cookies. But she baked 20 loaves of bread. I remember carrying it to the gym going, oh, my God, my mom baked bread, you know. Well, it was still warm and still fresh, and the smell in the gym was incredible. I think we sold out in 20 or 30 minutes. And so I had to call my mom and say, we sold out of your bread. Could you make some more? And she did. She baked 20 more loaves that day to bring in. And she never, you know, said, hey, I told you so, or she just baked the bread again. Another story that just sticks with me is that she was just the most honest person. And we were shopping in Yankton one day, and she bought something, got change. And we came home, and she looked at the receipt. She's gone, oh, my God, they gave me, like, I don't even know how much it was, $3, too much in change. I'm going, hey, great, you know. She goes, oh, no, these are little tests that I think God gives us. So the next time we go back to Yankton, we went in the store, and she goes to the clerk, I just want to give you this $3 back. You gave me too much change. And the clerk looked at her and going, oh, my God, who is this lady? That's never happened before. I think I'll turn it over to Grant now, since he probably has some great stories.
No, I think my mom summed it pretty well. Grandma Nuss was a very positive, exceptional woman. She formed me into the person I am today. I think Frida developed the open door policy, meaning if you're from Minnow or a surrounding area and you need a place to stay or someone to talk to, her door was always open. And I think a lot of those people in this room can command to that. And when you visited Frida, let's just say you got a story. And so three of my favorite stories, there's lots and lots of stories, but one of them was definitely when she was a Bible study teacher, she saw a little kid that had the voice of a preacher. And I just love that story. And this gentleman is right next to me to the left. And this man has also influenced my wife and I quite a bit. And then also another good story is one that many people have maybe heard is my mom had long, beautiful hair as a child. And when she would ride the school bus, it was getting shorter and shorter. It was getting snipped and snipped. And Grandma told one of the brothers, you better go and check on Mom up there. And let's just say a gentleman was snipping my mom's hair on the school bus. And the Nuss brothers took care of that. And so, and then also my third favorite story, Grandma Nuss story, that's very dear to me personally, is as a kid, I loved mashed potatoes, and on 4th of July, she would go out and out of her way to make 4th of July mashed potatoes in the Nuss family, and like I said, open door policy, anyone could go and have those mashed potatoes, and she claimed she was the only house in the South Dakota area that would make mashed potatoes, and so if you have those stories, we'd love to hear them, and they may all have slightly different versions, you know, but I think that's what makes the story great. So I just want to thank Grandma for molding me into the person I am today, and also I think we can all say that she had an influence in all of our lives.
All right, I'm batting cleanup here today. So first of all, I'd say apples don't fall far from the tree, so I would say that. But I got to know Frida for 40 years, hard to believe, 40 years. And I tell you, there's a theme in her life. There's a few themes. One is her faith. Her faith is woven throughout her story all the time. She had multiple instances when she could have challenged her faith, losing a son and a daughter, losing two husbands. But I got to tell you, her faith was stronger. It was with grace, which is a beautiful word in the Bible, but that was just Frida. She was amazing. She handled each one of those incidents with grace. I'd also say another theme is authenticity, honesty. You know, growing up in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s, it was pretty much a man's world. But I can tell you, Frida could hold her own. She was an entrepreneur. She sold blenders. She sold Bosch machines. She wrote cookbooks, German from Russians. She would speak her piece at any room if you wanted it. And I think that's what inspired me about her, is that even at a time when a strong farm wife, she was able to speak her mind, and she always did, and she was always honest, and I took that away from her. And then finally, I would say family and fun. She loved celebrations. This is a woman who would cook for 50, only 10 would show up. But all 50 of us later got to eat all the leftovers. It was pretty exciting. I think she's up in heaven. She finally has found a crowd big enough to feed with one of her meals, and some of you know that. I'd show up on a Thanksgiving, and there'd be 40 pumpkin pie from scratch in the garage, laying on hoods in the pickup. It was just amazing, her culinary. It's just amazing back then. Even as June talked about with the cookbooks at the time, think about it. It was egg whites and skim milk and margarine. And she said, you know what? God made us eat things whole. It's whole butter. It's whole cheese. It's whole milk. It's whole wheat. And that was just woven throughout her life. And it was just amazing. So we did learn a lot from her. We appreciate everything she gave to us. 40 years is a long time. As of 2 weekends ago, she kept saying 88 and a half, so she's pretty spunky at that point in time. We tried to say at May 12th, it's 88 and three quarters, though, as Pastor Mike said today. So she was a special lady. Thank you from the family for all of you attending today, traveling. May you have safe travels. She is one special lady. I think the community of Menno benefited as much as she benefited from all of you. So I think it's a win-win relationship. I also want to thank the Cricks family. God brought you to our lives for a reason, and so thank you.
I just want to wrap up by saying there are angels that walk on this earth, and Sue Crick is one of them. Mom did not want to go into a nursing home, and so we tried our best not to put her in one. And I just said, you know, Mom, we're going to take it day by day, just one day at a time. And we did that, and thanks to everybody, we were able to pull it off, and it went according to her plans. And so when the hymns we'll sing is one day at a time, and that's why. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks to all of you for sharing. It's beautiful. And Teresa is going to sing that for us now, one day at a time.
Just a woman. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the to pushing and shoving, crowding my mind. So for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Show me the way one day at a time. Lord, help me today. Show me the way one day at a time.
Thank you, Teresa. Beautiful song and beautiful words to live by. I'd like to read from Psalm 37. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. One of these verses is in your funeral folder that Frida had made special notes about, saying, this is constantly in my mind and on my conscience. Psalm 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. They were Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had been cast out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, she was the manager of Herod's household, and Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Going over to Luke chapter 23, I think you might be thinking, that's a strange passage, Pastor Mike, but I have a reason. Now we come to the cross. Jesus is on the cross, Luke 23, verse 46. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. And then we come to the tomb. I'm jumping down to verse 55 of that same passage. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph of Arimathea and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home, and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. Teresa's going to sing another song called The Holy City. This was at Frida's request. It is a beautiful, beautiful song.
Again, the scene was changed. New earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets. The gates were open wide. Stop.
Amen. Thank you, Teresa and Jennifer, both for working that up. Beautiful, beautiful. Let's bow in prayer once more, please. Heavenly Father, we know your word says that there is a mansion prepared for us in heaven, and we thank you that Frida is there experiencing that, and even as the words of that song speaking of the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem that we are yet waiting for, and how glorious that will be. Father, thank you for your word that speaks to us and encourages us and lifts us up during these times and these days. And I ask, Lord, that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here this afternoon. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. It was Sunday, March 7th of just this year when Frida was in the Freeman Hospital. She had gone in on just a couple days before that, when the cancer then was discovered and then the decisions made that she would come home to be in hospice care, spending the next 11 weeks at home, which was her wish. Takes a team to make that happen. And many of you made that happen for her. Wonderful visits. I hope most of you were able to do that, either on phone or in person. As the end drew closer on one of my visits with her, I just said, Frida, do you have any specific passage that might be your favorite? Well, she had written this Psalm 37 down in notes, which I wasn't aware of, but she said, well, I don't know that I have a certain verse to tell you, but I can tell you I have always admired the women in the Bible and how God used them. And that was no surprise to me, not at all. And that, though, is why I chose these passages out of the Gospel of Luke that I want to talk about. These women mentioned here faithfully served and followed the Lord through the ups and downs of life, and we see that. I have three points I'll make in this. First of all, in Luke 8, chapter 1, we could say, well, during the exciting times of life, which during the exciting times of life, it is pretty easy to serve the Lord and follow him faithfully. There, Jesus, it says he was going from one town to the next in Galilee, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And that good news was then, as still is today, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That is the good news. He was healing the multitudes. And it says there, the women were following him. These women were helping to support the 12 and Christ out of their own means. That was quite amazing. Because in this time, it's one commentary I read. I like how it stated it. It said, Jesus at this point lifted these women up out of the agony of degradation of that time and that culture into the joy of fellowship and service of the king. In that Jewish culture, women were not supposed to learn from the rabbis, but Jesus allowed these women to travel with him and support him. And if you'd read on in Luke chapter 8 and 9, you'd see the miracles that they were seeing. What the first is when they're on the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is asleep, and the storm comes up, and he calms, just speaks, peace, be still. You go on from there. He comes to the madman of Gadara, as we know, this demon-possessed man that he totally sets free. Then he comes, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. His daughter had died, and he raises her back to life. Then he heals the woman with the issue of blood. Going on, he feeds the 5,000, and that was just 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Exciting times, right? And these women, think how blessed they were to have their names recorded in Scripture for us to read today, to celebrate their lives of faith. It's wonderful. And as I knew Frida, And I go back 40 years as well. Maybe 42, but anyway. Frida so faithfully served the Lord in many ways, but certainly through this local church. All those years teaching Sunday school, teaching confirmation classes, helping in the women of the church, helping, I know in my time here, she's helped on a couple of our church pictorial directories, helping with that, and on and on. Even was serving on the consistory when Ann and I came in 2004. What a joy to work with her through that time. Actually, in 1978, August of 1978, when I arrived as a high school student with my parents, as my dad came to pastor this church, Frida was coordinating that, the confirmation classes, in that time of the absence of a regular minister. And one of the first homes we went to for dinner was hers and Elton on a Sunday afternoon. So that she could, as she would say, I had to get your dad up to speed on what was all supposed to be done with the confirmation classes. And so she did. So exciting times as she served the Lord, and as these women, I read their names in Scripture, served the Lord. So often in conversations, Frida and I would talk about the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how amazing that always is. As Grant briefly alluded to here, I said I could not do this service without sharing in a little more detail, not for anything of me or for Frida, but to God's glory. It was one of those very first Sundays. We had moved here again, August 1978, the day before school started, literally. And so one of those very first Sundays, Frida was teaching the high school Sunday school class. She could even tell exactly where I was sitting, if you heard this story ever. She could even tell we were studying the Gospel of John. And so as it went, we would take turns. I was in the middle there, and each one would read a few verses. And when it came around to my turn, and you have to know, some of you know how shy, extremely shy I was as a junior in high school. And I start reading whatever passage in the Gospel of John, and she just blurts out, oh, that voice. That voice, you have to do something for the Lord with your voice. And I turned beet red, as I did, put my head down, and said, I do not want to be a minister. And I never forgot that day, nor did she, but we never spoke of that day until at least, I was thinking it all through just this week, I bet 12 years later. Did we ever recount that day? And I meant it, what my answer was. But I would say for most who are called into the ministry, in our lives, God uses different defining moments through people or situations for that call. Excuse me. You know what else Frida told me? I'll try to get out of my tears by telling you this, because I have tears often, you know. She told me early on in my years back as pastor, she said, you know, Pastor Mike, if you just, when you're crying, if you just hold your mouth in this certain way, it'll help you get over your tears. I tried it. I said, Frida, it does not work. I'm sorry, that does not work for me. Anyway, okay, come back to this. That moment in Sunday school, That was a defining moment in my life, one of the first, even though I was like, no way, I am not going into the ministry. I loved the Lord, but I couldn't speak in front of anybody. And as I said to her, as we came back here in 04, it was earlier than that. One time I think I came back from the Navajo Reservation and was sharing with the congregation about our ministry. And she came to me and she said, "Do you remember that day?" I said, "How could I ever forget that day?" I said to her in later years, "Frida, I believe that was a prophetic moment that God spoke through you during the exciting times." But you know what? As we come to the cross, back to Luke chapter 23, these women in Scripture stayed faithful to the Lord during the heart-wrenching times of life. And we all have them. But not everybody does stay faithful. I'm not going to read that whole passage again, but it speaks at the cross, and we know at the cross, most of those 12 disciples, 11, Judas was already out of the picture, Judas Iscariot, as you know. Most of them fled. Peter stayed through the night before he took off. The apostle John was the only one staying with Christ at the cross. And these women, says these women, all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, the same ones we read about in Luke chapter 8, they stood at a distance watching these things, heart-wrenching. These women, even the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee, even went further after Jesus was taken down off the cross, and they followed Joseph of Arimathea, and we know Nicodemus was there too, followed to see where the tomb was, where they were going to lay him. Why? They went home that night, prepared spices and perfumes, what? To anoint the body, right? But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the command. You have to admire these women and their faith as they stayed so faithful to the Lord when at this point, as you should all know, I think, they were not expecting a resurrection on that Sunday morning. Nobody was, not the disciples, even though Jesus tried to tell them, look, this is what's going to happen. Da, da, da. He laid it out all the way. They just didn't believe it. Even when they went to the tomb, you know who the first to the tomb on that morning was? Mary Magdalene. Some of the women were the first ones there. John 20 lays that out for us clearly. When Mary Magdalene's there, she sees the tomb's empty. The two angels ask her, "Why are you crying?" She doesn't even think that they're angels. She said, all she says, "They've taken away my Lord out of the tomb, and I don't know where they've laid him." And then you know who comes next? Our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says, "Woman, why are you crying?" She doesn't recognize him. Lord, she says, same thing. "They've taken my Lord away out of the tomb, and I don't know where they have laid him." And Jesus says, "Mary." And she sees it's him. It's him. Through these heart-wrenching times, these women listed for us in Scripture stayed faithful. How about losing your son as she did, as they did, the family, Lane? He was 24 years old, May of 1982, in a very sudden, tragic accident. Just as he was getting ready to take over the operation of the farm. Talk about some dreams and hopes being shattered. What are we going to do? But God had a plan. Losing their daughter then, Carolyn, at the age of 48, very unexpectedly, to a heart aneurysm. That was in 2003. But in all of this, coming up to 2003, I looked back in the records, and she started serving on the consistory that year of January of 2003. It was December when Carolyn passed away of that year. It was May of 04 when Ann and I came, started serving here, and had that joy of being with her. Had the joy of that fall of 2005. She, Steve Pressler, another one, we went on a trip to check out the Conservative Congregational Christian Conference that we are a part of now. Frida went with us. Oh, we had laughs. Anywhere you went with Frida, you were going to have laughs, right? And we did. But serving through that, when some people probably would have said, I can't do it. I cannot do it anymore. Serving through the exciting times, serving through the heart-wrenching times, thirdly, serving the Lord through the totally unexpected times. And if we come to Luke 24, that's the resurrection. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women, they were there. What? They took spices they had prepared, went to the tomb. Again, they were going to anoint the body for further, properly, for the burial. And there they did not find the body, it says. While they're wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, and the angel said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" And the greatest words that we know and love, "He is not here. He has risen." They never expected the resurrection, ever in their wildest dreams, but still they were there. They were going to do what they knew to do to serve the Lord, even in his death. And they did. And I know at the time of Lane's passing, after that, there had to be many prayers with Elton and Frida asking for God's wisdom and direction. Again, that was May of 1982. If we'd fast forward to November 6th of 1982, here they come across an ad in the Dakota Farmer magazine, and I have a picture of it. Maybe it's out there on the board too. I'm not sure. This is what it said. Young married man. Seeks permanent position on a farm. Working with crops and machinery. Experienced mechanic and welder. Still have your phone number memorized from Wisconsin? And there it's listed. And Frida saw that, told it to Elton. Maybe she'd give him a call. And as we say, the rest is history. What an unexpected answer to prayer. Who could have ever imagined? And so God works. As we stay faithful through the ups and downs of life, serving him in incredible ways. To God be the glory for the life he lived through Frida on this earth. And I pray through each of us. If we'd go to John chapter 11, when Lazarus was being raised from the dead, that great account of Scripture, when Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." Frida is very much alive today in heaven. Very much alive. "And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And then the question to Martha is the very same question to every one of us. Do you believe this? And her answer was an answer of faith. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God who was to come into the world." And that was her confession of faith right there. That we all must do. I don't know everybody in here. I don't know where you're all at. If the Lord was asking you that question, But God knows where you're at with that question. And if you don't know, you better know, because we don't know when our last breath will be. So as Frieda wrote in this verse of Psalm 37, to wrap this up, delight yourself in the Lord and do good, and he will give you the desires of your thought. We talked about her and I. What does it mean to pray continually? She'd bring that up to me. And we'd always say, it's just all throughout the day. You're just communing with the Father. And whatever you do, communing with him, talking with him, fellowshipping with him, that's what that means. And so she did. Amen. If you'd stand together, please, if you're able, for a prayer, closing prayer, and at the end of this, I'll go into the Lord's Prayer and ask you to join me at that time. We use the words debts and debtors here, but you can sure pray how you're comfortable at that point. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your goodness. Lord, you are the giver of life. You are the conqueror of death. Father, I love the phrase of a song we sing that from life's first cry to final breath, you are the one who commands our destiny. And so you do. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Thank you that we can gather knowing that Frieda is at home with you in heaven. That whoever lives and believes in you shall never die. As she took that last breath the other day on this earth, you were there, your angels there to receive her into heaven at that moment. And how beautiful that is, as we know that she is healed and whole, completely free from the pain and struggles of this life. Father, thank you for how she touched us in so many ways. And so, Father, with faith in your great mercy and in your wisdom, we do entrust Frieda into your eternal care. And, Father, we praise you for your steadfast love for Frieda all of the days of her earthly life. Thank you for the memories she left us with, for all that she taught us. And, Father, finally, we say thank you that for Frieda, death itself is now past, that she has entered into heaven to spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we do pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you'll please receive the benediction. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Savior, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good, that you may do God's will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn here in just a moment will be How Great Thou Art. It is number 147. The words will also be on the screen. The committal service will be here at the Menno Cemetery. There is no lunch afterwards. If you weren't here before, that's when we had the lunch. So I'm sorry if you missed it, but the committal service will be after, and that will be the end of the day here. So thank you all for coming again. How great thou art. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. And sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountains, gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Thank you.